We turn now in the Scriptures to the book of Exodus in chapter 11, from which our meditation will be drawn, and then also a few verses from Exodus 12. Exodus 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. And now chapter 12, starting at verse 21. Through verse 23. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Thus far, God's true and precious word.
Tonight will be Exodus 11, verse 7b. That ye may know how that the Lord does put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel. Our theme for today is the God who separates. The God who separates. We see 3 points. First, the grace of separation. Second, the reason of separation. Third, the life of separation. First, the grace of separation. I think whether adults or children, we do not like separation, especially when the separation from our family members, from our dear friends. But some separation means to be healthy and good, especially when it separates us from potential dangers from our enemies. This is the case in this passage. This chapter told us God's final warning to Pharaoh and Egypt. Previously, God has brought 9 plagues upon the land of Egypt. Why? Because God wanted Pharaoh to release his people of Israel who were enslaved in the land of Egypt. But when Moses sent God's word to Pharaoh, what did Pharaoh say? He was so arrogant and said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Therefore the Lord Jehovah brought 9 plagues upon the land of Egypt, 9 miracles indeed, to let Pharaoh and the Egyptians know who the Lord Jehovah is. These 9 plagues for us today might be quite strange, sometimes even amusing. But as some scholars have pointed out, each of these plagues actually intend to humiliate or strike one idol which the Egyptians they worshipped at that time. The ultimate aim of God is to show the Egyptian there is only one God, the Lord, who is worthy of their worship. We do not have time for all the details today. Let us take the 9th plague as an example, the plague of darkness. In ancient times, the Egyptians, they worshipped lots of different gods, and the most prominent one probably is the sun god. Even their pharaoh, he called himself the son of the sun god. So with the plague of darkness, therefore the Egyptians, they found out that even their sun god, even their god of gods, is nothing in front of this Israel God Jehovah. All Moses he needs to do was simply striking, obeying, following God's instruction, stretching out his hand towards heaven. Then, what the Bible tells us, there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. Well, the Egyptians, they had to live with tremble and fear in the darkness for 3 days. The Bible, very interesting, specifies that but all the people of Israel, they had light. They had light where they lived. This is not the first time that Israel, they are separated from the Egyptian and the danger of plagues. Starting from the plague of flies, the Bible already mentioned again and again. The scripture specified clearly that when the house and the ground of Egyptians filled with swarms of flies, God has set apart the land of Goshen, where the Israel they lived, no swarms of flies could be found at all. When all the livestock of Egyptians died, again, a distinction was made so that not one of the livestock of the Israel was dead. The same thing happened when it comes to the plague of boils, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts, and the plague of darkness. All these separation, again, aim to show the Egyptian there's none like Jehovah, the Lord in all the earth. So now we come to God's final warning, also the most dreadful and terrible plague. The thing we want to see is, will God continue to separate his people from this last, most fearful and dangerous plague? Let's turn to Exodus 11, verse 1. God told Moses, "Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether." Here we can see a very clear contrast. Previously, Pharaoh, he did not even allow the Israel to go. But now, God says, after the 10th final plague, Pharaoh shall surely thrust you out altogether. And the following verse further tells us that the Israel people, they did not need to leave any of their possessions in Egypt. Rather, God gave them the right to borrow or plunder their Egyptian neighbors' possessions as compensation for their slavery. Therefore, the final plague will bring a complete flip. Verse 3 also it tells us that although the Israel, they were still slaves, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moses as well was made great in the land of Egypt in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. All of these are grace from God. What on earth then is this final plague? Verse 4 and 6 tells us it is the killing of all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. the killing of all the firstborn. Well, the first nine plagues, they were all executed through the hands of Moses and Aaron. This time, Jehovah the Lord, he declared, he will execute the judgment by himself, striking down all the firstborn of Egypt. Neither the highest nor the lowest, neither human being nor the livestock could escape this horrible judgment. The Lord wants the Egyptians to know that their mighty king, the one who claimed to be the sun god, the son of the sun god, could not even protect his own firstborn, much less the firstborn of his people. In this way, the Lord intended to destroy all the idols in the land of Egypt. Yes, throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 7, there shall be a great cry, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. As contrast, verse 7b also tells us, again, the land of Goshen was so quiet, so peaceful, that even not a dog shall move his tongue. In the beginning of the book of Exodus, we remember, all the firstborn of the Israelites, they had to be killed. That's order from Pharaoh. But now, all the firstborn of the Egyptians have been killed. In the beginning, it was the Israel people who had to beg Pharaoh for mercy. But now, it is all the Egyptians who cry out loud, and all the servants of the Pharaoh even, who bow down and beg the Israel people to leave. Why is there such a dramatic change? Verse 7b, the Lord does put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. What an amazing grace for the Israelites to have such a differentiation, such a separation. What a blessing. But for Pharaoh and all the Egyptians who stand in the way of the Lord, we have to see what a nightmare it is. We have to ask why the people of Israel, they could be separated and avoid all these dreadful judgments. Why? Why could they enjoy such an amazing grace of separation? Let's come to the second point, the reason of separation. Is it because the Israel people, they are too miserable, too pathetic? Or is it because they are in any way, somehow, better than the Egyptians? Or is it because they trust in the Lord, their faith moved God for their redemption, for this redemption? No. None of these are correct answers. The fact is, since the time of Abraham, the Lord had already separated the people of Israel from all the other nations. Genesis 15, remember God's covenant with Abraham. Genesis 15, 13, 14 tells us, and the Lord said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Here we can also understand why God's order of plundering the Egyptians' possessions, this order actually mentioned again and again in the book of Exodus. Because it had already been promised to Abraham 400 years ago that his descendants, the people of Israel, they would come out of the land of slavery with great treasure, while at the same time, the nation shall be judged. This could be the answer, but this answer is still not enough. We know that since the fall of Adam, the whole world has been corrupted and at enmity with God. Abraham himself and the Israel people, they're just sinners like you, like me. None of us could see the face of the most holy and the most righteous God, less than having His favor. Some of you might say that, but the grace of God is so, so great that He could forgive whoever He wills. Is that not true? Yes, God's grace for sinners is far beyond our imagination. God loves you much, much more than you can possibly believe and understand. But still, how could a righteous judge freely forgive a criminal? You see the problem, right? The cost has to be paid. The cost has to be paid. If anyone wants to have favor from God, the problem sin must first be dealt with. The following chapter, the verse we read in chapter 12, actually reveals the real reason for this grace of separation, which is the blood of the Passover lamb. In chapter 12, verse 21 to 23 in particular, reveals that when the most holy God comes into our midst, pass through the whole land, no one, even the Israel, no one can stand. What the Israelites, they deserve was simply death, just as the Egyptians. Because they are the same sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. But we know, because of the blood of the Passover lamb, the people of Israel, they were separated again from the judgment of death. Only with this blood could the problem sin be solved. Only with the blood could there be reconciliation. This is the most holy and righteous God's His principle of dealing with sin. The Egyptians, they did not have the blood of the Passover lamb to cover their sin, to cover their hearts. The result is obvious. Their firstborn had to shed the blood, no matter it's Pharaoh or it's the servants, it's a slave. Maybe you would think, oh, how bloody it is, how cruel and how cold is this biblical God. But I tell you, the Egyptians, they won't think this way. The Israel God, who killed their firstborn instantly, actually He could in fact also wipe out all the Egyptians from the land in a second, right from the beginning. But He didn't. He withheld His power in patience and mercy, even in this, the 10th plague. This is why all the servants of Pharaoh bowed down to Moses and begged the people of Israel to leave. They even willing to give up their possessions. Because finally they understood, without the blood of the Passover lamb, without the separation grace from the Israel God, they would have to be constantly under the judgment of this most fearful, almighty judge. The only thing they can think of is to stay away from these horrible people of Israel. Stay away from their God as much as possible. Because really they can never, never afford the dreadful judgment. So what about you, my dear congregation? Maybe some of you are just churchgoers, but have not really come to the Lord. You just follow the tradition, follow what your family, friends are doing. Children among us. Maybe you just obeying your parents. But you never think seriously why you come to this world, where your final end will be. You study hard, you work hard, you try to live a wonderful life, but all for your own interest and glory. From the bottom of your heart, you still seek to be your own God. If you cannot be the God of America, you seek to be the God of your own house. Rather than pleading the will of the only true God and submit your life to Him, maybe even the Lord Jehovah has started to bring plagues in your private life or in family. Maybe, one by one, small or big. Why? In order to destroy all the idols you may have at this moment of your life. It's possible. He wants to let you know only Him is the one you should serve. Not your career, not your parents, not your achievements. Only this, the true God, only Him is your comfort and hope. And whether you like it or not, one day all of us will meet the final plague, our final plague on the earth. Our mind, our body will cease operating. Our possessions, friends, family, our careers will all be gone. That is the death none of us could escape from. Is that the final end for everyone? Not really. There is still the last judgment waiting for us all. Revelation 1:7 tells us, On that last day, all tribes of the earth will wail. The 10 plagues here actually are just prototypes or rehearsals of the most horrible last day judgment. No more tolerance, no more patience, no more mercy by that last judgment. By then you have to, whether you were willing or not, you have to face the most holy, most dreadful judge, the judge of heaven and earth. All your hidden sins, the thing you have done in secret, in darkness, will be revealed in the light. All your hidden sins. By that time, all of those who still have not reconciled with God will cry out, "Lord," but not merely for the loss of their firstborn, but for themselves, for all their borns, for their own inescapable punishment in hell. All the tribes of the earth will wail. Dear congregation, do you have the blood of this Passover lamb to cover yourself, to cover your house? If not, that will be the final end for you, for me. There's no way we can afford, just like the Egyptians. And there's no way you can just let the God go away. No way. You may ask, how can I be covered by the blood of the Lamb God? Do I need to celebrate Passover like the Israelites? Sacrifice lamb for myself? Definitely not. The Old Testament history has showed very clear that even if you do sacrifice a lamb every day, that could not really solve the problem sin. Right? But the good news is that you do not need to bring your own sacrifice. You do not need to prepare the sacrifice for yourself, for your family. This time, God Himself has prepared the sacrifice. And it is much, much better sacrifice. That is Jesus Christ, the Lamb God, also the only begotten Son of God, the eternal begotten Son of God. And this time, Jehovah, the Almighty God, the fearful judge, He did not strike the firstborn of sinners, but instead, He crucified His own Son on the cross on the day of Passover. And this time, the Lord Almighty, He did not request a perfect sacrifice without any blemish from you. But He sacrificed His own beloved Son, who knows no sin at all. Who knows no sin at all. This is the way, the only way, God prepared for all the sinners to escape from the final judgment. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, Apostle Paul, he declares, Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us, for you, for me. It's already finished 2,000 years ago. It's already finished completely, absolutely. Christ the Lamb has been sacrificed. The only thing left is, do you believe? Are you willing to believe, dear congregation? Are you willing to confess all your sins and to be covered by the blood of this Passover Lamb? Come to Him. Embrace Him. Confess all your sins. Eat His flesh, drink His blood. Union with this Christ through genuine faith. Then all your sins will be taken away, and all of His righteousness will become yours. Then the most dreadful judge of heaven and earth will become your heavenly Father, the merciful Father. And the eternal punishment of hell waiting for you will turn to be the eternal felicity in the new heaven and new earth. This amazing exchange, are you willing to embrace? Are you willing to embrace? Have you ever tasted this wonderful grace? If not, come and taste it. Come and taste it. It is there. It's already prepared completely. Jesus Christ, the real Passover Lamb, is your only way out, your only rest. Dear congregation, if you have already been covered by the blood of this Passover Lamb and already become the separated people of God, then I have a final question for you. Do you have the according life of separation or a separated life? This is our final point. For our community, I think we are doing very well in one sense, to separate from the society, from the culture. We go to the Reformed Church, we sing the Psalter, we worship God in the right way. We do family worship, we send our children to a Christian school. We try to have godly conversation everywhere we go. In all these things, we have done a very good job. But the thing we always need to keep in mind The essence of this separated life is not the external physical separation, right? It means a sanctified life, a life of obedience, a life of holiness, a life separated to be used by God only. It is clearly stated in Leviticus 20:26. After God separated the Israel nation, He declared to them that, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." In New Testament, Apostle Peter, he echoes this same in 1 Peter 2:9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Other sisters, it is for this particular reason, to show forth the praises of our Lord Jesus Christ, this Passover Lamb who has bought you with His precious blood, who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For this particular reason, dear congregation, that you have been chosen and separated to be the holy royal priesthood of God. For this reason. Therefore, congregation, we need to examine ourselves, examine our hearts. Behind all your external physical separation from the world, do you still keep this grand mission, grand vision in your mind, in your heart? Do you? Have you showed forth the praises of Jesus Christ with your deeds and your words? Parents, we can ask ourselves, can our children see the grace and mercy, justice and holiness from our God, from your spiritual life? Wives, can your husband see the husband, can your wife see the self-denial, the sacrificial love of your master from your love? Also for the wives, can your husband see the obedient life of your master through your obedience? Out of home, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to ask ourselves, have your neighbors heard the praiseworthy name, the sweet name of Jesus from your mouth? Have you ever truly suffered for the name of Christ? What cost have you ever paid for this faith? It is impossible for us to become Christians yet without paying any cost, right? Because the Lord Jesus has already told us there will be cost. You'd better count the cost ahead. Therefore, to show forth the praiseworthy name of Christ, I think sometimes it challenges us to break down our external physical separation from the world to some extent, and get out of our spiritual comfort zone to reach out to those who are not comfortable, we are not comfortable to contact with, to talk, to speak with those who we would rather do not speak with. Spend time to really understand them, to show them really why and how the gospel is the good news for them. Not our own talking, but why and how exactly the gospel is the good news for their life, for their struggles. Of course, it takes time, takes efforts, because it takes love. It takes love. But that's just what our Lord Christ, He did to us. In His incarnation, in His patience and mercy, in His whole life on the earth. For our brothers and sisters who are even, if you are bound at home or at bed, even if for you, you may think there is really nothing you can do, but still you can show forth the praise of Jesus Christ, even in a better way. Have other people see your hope and peace in illness, your patience, your love in tribulation? Can you recognize that although you wear the same clothes, you speak the same language, but there is difference. There's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can you see it? Can your neighbors, your families, your friends confess honestly that you are truly the disciple of Christ? The one who does not belong to this world. The one who seeks the things that above. Can they? We need to examine ourselves. Of course, as long as our flesh is still in this world, we can never reach to a perfect state of separation. I myself, I could never reach that. I could not. Indeed, there's only one who led a life of perfect separation, a perfect obedience and perfect holiness on this earth. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. So the truth is, apart from Him, we really can do nothing. And our hope is only in Him. That means we not only need Jesus Christ, this Passover lamb, to sacrifice for our sins, but also we need this resurrected Lord Savior to empower us with His Spirit and His resurrection power, so that we can fight with our flesh, fight with the world and Satan. Therefore, brothers and sisters, confess you are the needy one before Him. You need His grace, you need His mercy, and His resurrection power every day, every moment, even every second. We need it. Turn your eyes upon this Jesus Christ. In your struggles, in your weakness, in your failures, all your failures, turn to Him. In Him alone there is forgiveness and comfort. In Him alone there is power and the best example of the life of separation. Right? So ultimately, it's really not us. It's not our power, not our ability to separate ourselves from others, but the Lord's. I'm sure many of you could record how God's grace of separation has worked out in your life, in your family, in your spiritual journey. You know how God saved you from all your those unbelieved friends. You know it. If you have really tasted this grace of separation from this Lord Jehovah, then I think be assured that His grace of separation will continuously sustain you and guide you until the day we meet Him face to face in the last day of judgment. You can trust this most faithful God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Almighty God, Lord Jehovah, we thank Thee and pity. For thou art such a God of separation. Thou art such a God of showing mercy to those who love thee to a thousand generation. May thy spirit continue to work in our heart and drive us to embrace the Passover Lamb and the resurrected Lord thou hast prepared for us. May we, all of us, could stand before thee with the Lamb who was slain on the last day of separation. In our Savior Christ's name we pray. Amen.